A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, a complete beginner's guide to laundry, and he's totally not asking for himself. The brief is end-to-end fundamentals, sorting, care labels, water temperatures, detergent, the classic disasters, what delicates actually need, drying, ironing, and the little habits that keep clothes alive. Friendly, practical, and a little self-deprecating, which, honestly, is where most of us live.
I love this. Laundry is one of those things everyone pretends they know how to do, and then you open the machine and find a wool sweater the size of a tea cozy. By the way, DeepSeek V4 Pro is writing our script today, so if I sound unusually competent about fabric care, that's why.
All right, let's start where the disaster starts, the pile on the floor. Walk me through it, walking encyclopedia.
The first rule is simpler than people make it. You're separating by three things: color, fabric weight, and soil level. Color is the one everyone knows: whites, lights, darks. But the reason isn't just about dye bleeding. Whites washed with darks pick up micropigments over time that make them look dingy, and hot water sets that. So whites get their own load, hot water, and usually a detergent with optical brighteners.
Darks with darks. Cold water to keep them from fading.
But here's where most people mess up. They stop at color. The real sorting mistake is mixing fabric weights. Towels and jeans are heavy, abrasive. If you throw a lightweight cotton shirt in with a load of towels, the friction literally wears down the fibers. That's why your t-shirts get those little pills on the surface. Towels should live alone or with other heavy cottons.
The towels live alone. Rule isn't just some fastidious thing. It's mechanical wear.
And then there's soil level. If you've got something heavily soiled, gardening clothes, gym gear, don't wash it with lightly worn office shirts. The dirt redistributes in the water. Heavily soiled items need a longer cycle, more detergent, and ideally their own load. The Spruce has a good breakdown on this. They recommend sorting into whites, lights, darks, towels, and delicates as the baseline five-category system.
I currently operate with two. Looks clean and doesn't look clean.
You're not alone, but if you want clothes to last more than a season, those five categories make a real difference. Now, care labels. This is the part where most people just squint and hope for the best.
Those little symbols look like hieroglyphics designed by a committee.
They actually are designed by a committee, the International Organization for Standardization, ISO 3758. But they're logical once you know the system. The washtub symbol is washing. The triangle is bleach. The square is drying. That one throws people because a square doesn't scream dryer. The iron is ironing. The circle is dry cleaning.
Okay, but the dots and bars, that's where I'm lost.
Dots are temperature. One dot means low, 30 degrees Celsius, about 86 Fahrenheit. Two dots medium, 40 degrees. Three dots hot, 50 to 60 degrees. Bars under the symbol are mechanical action, how gentle the cycle needs to be. No bar means normal cycle. One bar means permanent press, which is a medium spin. Two bars means delicate or gentle cycle, low spin.
If I see a washtub with two dots and one bar underneath, that's 40 degrees on permanent press.
And the triangle for bleach. If it's just a plain triangle, you can use any bleach. A triangle with two diagonal lines inside means non-chlorine bleach only, like oxygen bleach. A triangle with an X through it means no bleach at all. That one matters because chlorine bleach destroys wool, silk, and spandex.
The square for drying. I'm guessing a circle inside the square means tumble dry?
Circle in a square is tumble dry. Same dot system applies. One dot low heat, two medium, three high. If the square has a curved line at the top, that's line dry. A horizontal line inside the square means dry flat. That's critical for wool and knits that would stretch out if hung.
Which means laying a sweater on a towel on the floor, and then your cat sits on it.
Or you forget about it for 3 days. But yes, that's the idea. The iron symbol is straightforward, dots for temperature. An X through the iron means do not iron. and the circle for dry cleaning has letters inside that tell the cleaner what solvent to use, which you don't need to memorize. The key one is a circle with an X. That means do not dry clean.
The X is the universal don't do this thing, across all symbols.
Once you know the five base shapes and that dots mean temperature, bars mean gentleness, and X means no, you can decode any care label in about 10 seconds. Now, water temperature. This is where people get dogmatic, but the rules have actually shifted. For decades, the advice was hot for whites, warm for colors, cold for delicates. But modern detergents are enzyme-based and work perfectly in cold water. Tide's own research shows that washing in cold with a good detergent cleans as effectively as hot for most everyday loads, and it saves enormous energy. Something like 90% of a washing machine's energy goes to heating water.
Hot water is increasingly niche.
It still has specific uses. Hot water above 54 degrees Celsius or 130 Fahrenheit sanitizes. If someone in the house has been sick, or you're washing cloth diapers, or you need to kill dust mites in bedding, hot water matters. It also helps dissolve greasy stains, but for everyday laundry, warm or cold is fine, and cold preserves fabric and color better.
What about the classic warm wash, cold rinse rule?
That's a solid default. Warm water activates the detergent and helps dissolve body oils. Cold rinse sets the fibers and reduces wrinkling. Most machines default to that now anyway. The one exception, if you have hard water, cold washing can leave detergent residue because the minerals prevent it from dissolving properly.
Which brings us to detergent. Powder versus liquid versus pods. I've always just grabbed whatever's on sale.
That's not wrong, but they do behave differently. Powder is the cheapest per load, and it's excellent on mud, clay, and ground and dirt because it contains builders that soften water and lift particulate soil. But it doesn't always dissolve fully in cold water, especially in hard water. Liquid is better on grease and oil stains because it contains surfactants that penetrate oily soils. It dissolves in all temperatures, and it's what you want for pre-treating stains. Pods are just liquid detergent in a dissolvable packet, pre-dosed. Convenient, no measuring, but they're the most expensive per load. The dosing is also fixed. You can't use less for a small load or more for a heavily soiled one. And they're a poisoning risk for kids because they look like candy. The American Association of Poison Control Centers reports thousands of exposures a year.
If I'm doing a small load, a pod is overkill.
Most people use way too much detergent. The measuring cup that comes with liquid detergent, the line marked 1, is usually for a full, heavily soiled load. For a normal load, you need half that. Excess detergent doesn't rinse out and leaves residue that attracts dirt and makes towels stiff. If your clothes feel soapy or look streaky after washing, you're using too much.
I always assumed more soap equals more clean.
It's the most common laundry mistake, according to basically every appliance manufacturer and detergent company. They won't stop you from using more because they sell more detergent, but it's counterproductive. And hard water changes the math. If you've got hard water, you need more detergent to overcome the minerals, or you add a water softener like borax. Signs of hard water? White chalky residue on fixtures? Soap that doesn't lather well? Clothes that feel rough after drying?
All right, let's talk about the disasters. The red sock in the whites. The wool jumper shrunk to doll size. The tissue left in a pocket. What's actually happening in each case, and how do you prevent them?
The red sock is dye transfer. It happens when loose dye molecules in the water bond to the fibers of other clothes. Hot water opens up fiber cuticles and accelerates it. Prevention is sorting, obviously, but also, new dark clothes should be washed alone the first time or with a color catcher sheet. Those sheets are treated with a cationic polymer that attracts and traps loose dye anions in the wash water. They work surprisingly well.
I've seen those in the store and assumed they were a gimmick.
They're not. They genuinely reduce dye transfer. Now, if the disaster already happened and you've got pink whites, don't dry them. Heat sets the dye. Rewash immediately with oxygen bleach or a dye remover product. The wool shrinkage is a different mechanism entirely.
My favorite mechanism. I have a sweater that now fits a small dog.
Wool fibers have scales, like microscopic shingles on a roof. When you agitate them in warm water, those scales lock together and the fiber contracts. It's called felting. The combination of heat, moisture, and agitation is what does it. Once it's felted, it's permanent. You can't unshrink wool.
The hand wash instruction on wool isn't a suggestion.
It's not. Cold water, no agitation, lay flat to dry. If you must machine wash, use a mesh bag, cold water, delicate cycle, and never the dryer. The tissue in the pocket, that's just cellulose fibers disintegrating and clinging to everything. Prevention is checking pockets. Removal is running the clothes through the dryer with a dryer sheet, which helps the lint trap catch the tissue bits, or using a lint roller.
Which is tedious, and you'll still find tissue flecks on your black jeans 3 washes later.
The lint roller is your friend there. Patience and multiple passes. Now, delicates and hand wash. This is the section where people get intimidated and just avoid buying nice things.
Or buy them and then ruin them, which is my approach.
Delicates usually means one of three things. The fabric is fragile like silk or lace, the construction is loose like an open knit sweater, or the fiber is prone to felting like wool. Hand wash doesn't necessarily mean you have to stand at a sink. Most modern machines have a delicate or hand wash cycle that uses low agitation and a slow spin. The key is the mesh laundry bag. It creates a physical barrier so the clothes aren't rubbing against other items. Detergent should be a mild one, ideally labeled for delicates. It has fewer enzymes that could break down protein fibers like silk and wool. Never use fabric softener on delicates. It coats the fibers and reduces breathability. For actual hand washing in a sink, use cool water, a tiny amount of gentle detergent, swish it around, don't wring or twist. Just press the water out gently and roll the item in a towel to absorb moisture before laying flat to dry.
Press, don't wring. That's the kind of specific instruction that saves a $40 shirt.
Wringing stretches and distorts wet fibers, especially knits. It's the fastest way to turn a sweater into a tunic. Now, drying, tumble dry versus air dry. This is where the most cumulative damage happens to clothes. Heat and mechanical action. Every time you run clothes through a dryer, the tumbling knocks fibers loose. That's what lint is. Your clothes are literally wearing away. The dryer is convenient, but it's the hardest thing you can do to fabric. Air drying eliminates that entirely. The trade-off is time and stiffness. Air-dried clothes can feel crunchy, especially towels, because the fibers don't get fluffed.
What's the rule of thumb for what should never see a dryer?
Anything with elastic. Underwear, socks, athletic wear. Heat degrades spandex and elastic bands, wool and cashmere, never. Anything with a print or vinyl transfer. Brass. The heat and tumbling destroy the elastic, and the underwire can escape and damage the machine. Heavy denim can go in, but on low heat, and take it out while still slightly damp to prevent shrinkage and wear.
What actually benefits from the dryer?
Towels, if you want them fluffy. Sheets, for the same reason. Cotton t-shirts and sweatshirts do fine on medium heat. But even for those, dryer balls, wool, or rubber, reduce drying time and soften without chemical fabric softener. Fabric softener is mostly wax and quaternary ammonium compounds that coat fibers. It makes towels less absorbent over time.
I did not know that about fabric softener. I've been using it on towels for years.
Use white vinegar in the rinse cycle instead, 1/2 cup. It removes detergent residue, softens naturally, and doesn't coat the fibers. The smell dissipates completely. It's also a mild fabric brightener.
All right, ironing basics. I own an iron. I've used it approximately 4 times.
The first rule of ironing is check the care label. The iron symbol with dots tells you the maximum temperature. Synthetics like polyester and nylon need low heat, 1 dot. Wool and silk, medium, 2 dots. Cotton and linen, high, 3 dots. If you iron polyester on cotton setting, you will melt the fabric. It will fuse to the iron plate and your shirt is now modern art.
I've seen that happen. The shiny iron-shaped scar on a dress shirt.
That's called glazing, and it's permanent. The second rule is iron while damp. Most irons have a steam function, but if yours doesn't, use a spray bottle. Dry ironing is much harder and less effective. Third rule, iron in sections and don't let the iron sit still. Keep it moving. For collars and cuffs, start on the underside, then flip and do the top side. For buttons, iron around them, never over them. You'll melt the buttons or leave marks.
What about the order? Sleeves first, body last?
Actually, collar first, then yoke, the shoulder area. Then sleeves, then body. Work from smallest sections to largest. And for pants, start with the waistband and pockets. Then lay the legs flat with the seams aligned and iron each leg. Hanging or folding immediately after ironing prevents new wrinkles.
The small habits that keep clothes alive longer. This is the part I suspect most people skip, but it's where the real mileage is.
And they're not complicated. First, zip zippers and fasten buttons before washing. Open zippers snag other clothes. Second, turn clothes inside out, especially dark colors and anything with prints. That protects the visible surface from abrasion and fading. Third, don't overload the machine. Clothes need room to move so water and detergent can circulate. If you're stuffing it full, things won't get clean and the friction damage multiplies.
What about the dryer?
Actually, the dryer is the opposite. A slightly fuller dryer is more efficient because the clothes absorb each other's impact. But don't stuff it. 3/4 full is the sweet spot, according to most manufacturers. Fourth habit, empty the dryer lint trap every single time. It's a fire hazard if you don't, and a clogged lint trap makes the dryer work harder and take longer.
That one I actually do, but only because I'm terrified of burning the house down.
Fifth, don't leave clothes in the washer after the cycle ends. That mildewy smell sets in fast, within a few hours, especially in warm weather. If you forget and they smell, rewash with hot water and a cup of white vinegar. Sixth, store clothes properly. Knits folded, not hung. Hanging stretches the shoulders. Wovens on hangers, ideally wooden or padded ones that support the shoulder shape. Cedar blocks in drawers for woolens. Moths hate cedar.
What about that thing where people wash jeans as infrequently as possible? Is that real or just denim head mythology?
It's real but nuanced. Raw denim enthusiasts go months without washing to develop high contrast fades. For regular jeans, washing every 5 to 10 wears is fine. Wash inside out, cold water, and air dry or low heat. Frequent washing fades denim and breaks down the cotton, but not washing enough lets oils and dirt abrade the fibers from the inside. The CEO of Levi's famously said he spot cleans his jeans and rarely washes them, which sent the internet into a spiral.
I remember that. People were angry about it.
Laundry is surprisingly emotional. It's one of those domestic rituals that people develop strong opinions about, often inherited from their parents without much examination. That's why a guide like this actually matters. It gives people permission to question what they've always done.
If someone's listening and they've been doing basically everything wrong their whole life, too much detergent, hot water for everything, towels with t-shirts, fabric softener on everything, what's the one change that makes the biggest difference?
Sort properly and use less detergent. Those two things alone will extend the life of your clothes more than anything else. Sorting prevents mechanical damage and dye disasters. Correct detergent dosing prevents residue buildup that makes clothes look dingy and feel rough. Everything else, water temperature, drying choices, ironing technique, builds on that foundation.
For the person who's starting from zero, never done a load of laundry in their life.
Start with one load of darks, cold water, half a cap of liquid detergent, normal cycle. Move them to the dryer on medium heat, clean the lint trap first. That's your baseline. Once you've done that, you've done laundry. The rest is just refinement.
I like that. It's not alchemy, it's just paying attention.
And the fact that Daniel asked this, hypothetically of course, for a friend, suggests there are a lot of people who feel like they missed the class where everyone else learned this stuff.
The secret is, there was no class. Everyone just fumbled through it and ruined a few shirts along the way.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The name tardigrade was coined by Italian biologist Lazzaro Spallanzani in 1777 from the Latin tardigradus, meaning slow stepper. In the 1920s, German zoologist Ernst Marcus, while cataloging marine tardigrade species, discovered that a specimen collected near Kiribati had been misidentified for over a decade due to a labeling error at the Hamburg Zoological Museum.
I relate to that deeply.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Our producer is Hilbert Flumingtop. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other people find the show. I'm Herman Poppleberry.
I'm Corn. Don't use too much detergent.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head,
send it in, we'll chase the thread.
My weird thoughts, that's the close from sloth, from man, from long ear host.
My weird thoughts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.